With you for the next couple of minutes, let's turn to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter number 2. We'll look at verses 21 through verse number 24 in just a minute or two. I want to say again, welcome to Christmas in July. No, the pastor hasn't gone crazy. I love Christmas just as much as the next person, but with all the ministry that we do on Sundays here at Sharon Baptist Church, I don't always have the opportunity to preach about Christmas as I would like to. So the Lord really gave me this idea of having beginning last year, Christmas in July. Besides that, there's just something about the spirit of Christmas that just resonates within us. Whether it's the music, whether it's a decoration, maybe the love that's shown towards each other during this time of year, or maybe it's just because of the reason that we celebrate this season of the birth of Jesus Christ. It truly is the most wonderful time of the year. And at Christmas times in churches and in homes all across America today, you'll find a Christmas tree just like this one over here, and have a few presents under, like the three Christmas trees we preached about during the morning message. Some might say that Christians ought to avoid them because of the pagan origin of the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree really has become a very integral part of our holiday season, and the truth is, any pagan connection with it that it once held so long ago has really just faded away. I think about this as well. If we are to fade away with the Christmas tree, we ought to fade away with the days of the week. The days of the week in our Julian calendar were made for Greek gods. And so just as those connections have gone away, the connection of a pagan worship of a Christmas tree, as we call today, have gone away as well. I think we ought to use this Christmas season as a positive time to remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not so much concentrate perhaps on what it was thousands of years ago. And so we understand that Jesus Christ came into this world, and he came into this world to be born that he just might die on the cross. Every year, the reports of Christmas trees catching fire, which can have very heartbreaking consequences. Sometimes the result is the whole house would be burned up and there's nothing left. But most of the time, it's just the Christmas tree and the few presents that are unfortunately destroyed underneath the Christmas tree. And tonight, I want to reflect on what I call God's Christmas tree, the cross of Jesus Christ. And this beautiful tree is adorned with a bunch of gifts, and unlike earthly presents, these gifts are eternal gifts, and they never will be destroyed. These treasures under God's tree are of limitless worth, brought with the sacrifice of God's Son on the cross of Calvary. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 tells us this: "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." This message of Jesus Christ being God's Christmas tree, and the cross being where Christ died for us, is a message of love. It's a message of eternal hope that we will always have. 1 Peter 1 in verse number 4 says this: that we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So having gave this introduction, let's stand for the reading of God's word. We'll stand and read 1 Peter chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 21 down through verse 24, and then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible said in 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 21, "For even hereunto you were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he reviled not again, when he suffered he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Notice verse 24, "Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye are as sheep gone astray, and now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this evening. For the next few minutes, Father, I pray you'll be a help to this pastor. Oh, Father, as I preach about God's Christmas tree, as we look at several gifts that were placed underneath that tree for us and are available for us today. So, Father, would you challenge hearts today? save that one, Father, never has put their faith in Jesus Christ. And may they come away tonight really understanding for the first time that God loves them, and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for them. And Father, if they'll just but repent of their sin and put their faith in Christ, they too could become a born-again child of God. So Father, minister to the lost that are here today, and for the Christians as well, and to that we'll give you praise and honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at the first gift under God's Christmas tree, which, as I said before, is none other than the cross of Calvary, I want you to notice perhaps the greatest and foremost gift that ever has been given to you and I, and that is this. It's the gift of salvation. I want you to understand that salvation is free. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us this, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. That word grace can be defined as this, it's unmerited favor. It's something that we did not deserve, that God gives us in spite of our own self. And that means we don't deserve it, but it's available to us anyway, and thank God for that. You say, well, Pastor Carroll, if we don't deserve God's grace, what do we deserve? Well, the truth of the matter is we deserve death, we deserve hell, and we deserve the grave. Paul, writing in Romans 5 and verse 12, tells us this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and that's speaking all the way back to the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, and then it says, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And then in Romans 6 and verse 23, the Bible says this, for the wages of sin is death. You see, salvation in Christ is free. But it is not cheap. It cost God his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many are familiar with John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then one of my favorite verses in all the Word of God, found in Romans 5 and verse number 8. But God commended his love towards us. That word commended is an old English word that means demonstrated or can mean showed. So God showed his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God for that. Understand this, that because of his grace, while we were still separated from God because of that sin that we are born into, that God still loved us and he still was willing to die for us. I want you to understand something, that grace is not grace and free is not free if I have to do something to pay for that grace. Understand that Paul, writing in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, tells us this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, or the blood of Christ. Notice what we have, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Because it's a free gift, because of the grace of God, we find that we can have the forgiveness of sins according to his riches in and through Christ Jesus. You see, here's the truth of the matter, that Christ paid the penalty for our sin on the cross of Calvary. So the question we ask ourselves this evening is simply this: how do we receive the greatest gift of all, the gift that is without cost to you and I tonight? Well, we understand, first of all, that God's gift of salvation is acquired by faith alone. And that lends us to ask this question, what is faith? Well, Hebrews 11 and verse number 6 gives us this answer. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I think we could boil it down to this in the simplest of terms this evening, that faith is trust in the Word of God. It's believing what God has said about receiving Christ as your Savior without any reservations. I love what the Lord said in John 5 and verse 24. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You see, the truth is that this faith leads to a transformation in our relationship with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are once at enmity with God. That word enmity with God refers to a state of hostility. We were in opposition to God because of our sin nature. We see this expressed in James 4, in verse 4, where James writes this, ye adulterers and adulteresses, Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And then in Romans 8 and verse number 7, Paul writes and said, because the carnal mind or the unsaved mind is enmity against God, but it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But understand this, but thanks be to God, because the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, Paul could state in Ephesians 2, verses 15 and 16, he said this, having abolished in his flesh, whose flesh? Jesus Christ. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments ordained in ordinances, for to make himself a twain, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Well, not only do we see this evening we have the gift of salvation under God's Christmas tree, but we also have the gift of justification. Justification really is a legal term, and that term really means this. It means to be made just. It means to be made right. It means to be made righteous. And it speaks of God's pronouncement that we are acquitted from the penalty of our sin. The moment that we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we become acceptable in God's sight. And even though we are sinners, we've been declared righteous. In Romans 3 and verse 28, the Bible says this, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So you see, our justification comes not from us keeping the Ten Commandments, not from attending church, not from doing good deeds, by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And why is that? Because Christ's righteousness, his goodness, his righteousness is applied to our lives at the moment of our salvation. Well, justification is a legal term, but notice this. What's the basis for that justification? Well, number one, I think it's faith in Christ. We won't take time to turn there, but in Galatians 2 and verse 16, the Bible says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we again understand the basis for our justification is us putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. But then secondly, it's by the work of Christ. Paul, writing to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, says this, being justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then in chapter 5 and verse 9, he adds to that and he says this, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. So the basis of our justification is faith in Christ. It's the work of Christ, what he accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. But then notice something else. Notice the results of this justification, this free gift. The results of justification in our life will be evidenced by a changed life. James, writing in chapter 2 and verse 26, says this, for the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we understand this then, that's what James was talking about. He's not talking about how to receive the free gift. He's speaking about the results of having received the free gift, the results of justification. And he says simply this, he says that we're not working to be saved, but because we are saved, because we have been justified, guess what? We are going to work. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 teaches us this, that once we have been justified, once we've been redeemed by Christ, understand that we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Well, not only do we have the gift of salvation as we hurry on, but notice, and the gift of justification under God's Christmas tree, but then I think there's another gift, and that's the gift of peace with God. Peace with God. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter number 5. If you're still in Hebrews, you don't have very far. Just look left. Romans chapter 5. Acts Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. We'll read that verse in just a moment, Acts 5 and verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says, speaking about, we're talking about the gift of peace with God. The Bible says, therefore being, what's that word again? Justified by what? Faith. We have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, peace with God. That word peace with God means being reconciled to God. Literally, it means being drawn alongside of God. It means the barriers to God because of our sin have been removed by the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're drawn alongside of God. Peace with God refers to the peace of salvation that forms the foundation for all the other aspects of peace when you and I think about peace. And here's the truth. If you don't have the peace with God, you're never going to have the peace of God. Understand this, that Jesus promises to give us this peace. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. So it's only as we are at peace with God that we can be at peace with ourselves and be at peace with others. So we have the peace with God, but then notice something else. Notice peace and love. In studying for this passage, I found something very interesting. In more than 10 verses in the totality of God's Word, these two words, peace and love, appear together. Now, for you Bible scholars, let me just help you out. In the context of these verses, some of them may or may not be connected together, but I found it intriguing that these words, peace and love, come together. And as Christians, it seems the closer that we abide in the love of God, the more peace of God that we'll have in our trials, in our relationships, and with ourselves as well. I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. God's word says this, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. And then he says this, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Well, not only do we have the gift of salvation under God's tree, we have the gift of justification, we have the gift of peace, and lastly and very quickly, notice this, we have the gift of access to God. And look at verse number 2 of Romans chapter number 5, if your Bible's still open. The Bible says, by whom also we have access by, what's the next word? Faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Notice, first of all, that we have access now to God because we've been justified, because we've been saved, because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Prior to this, we had no way to approach a righteous and holy God, but he made a way because of his love for you and I through his Son, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ died, the veil in the temple between the holy place, which contained the altar of incense, the table of showbread, and the lampstand, and the holies of holies, which contained the Ark of the Covenant, which most people are more familiar with, the Bible says was rent, or we could use the term torn, from top down to the bottom. And Matthew 27 and verse 51, Matthew pens these words down. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. You see, the barrier between us and God was now removed. And once and for all, the death of Jesus Christ, God's Christmas tree, the cross, made it available to us that we have access now to God. And through Christ, we can have access to the very presence of Almighty God. I don't know about you, but that excites me that I can be in the very presence of God. In 1 Timothy 2:5, the Bible says this, for there is one God, one mediator between God and man, and that man, Christ Jesus. And because of the access now that's available to you and I, Paul writes in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, he said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. So we see that we have access to God, but then notice, and then we'll be secondly, and then we'll be done. What a wonderful gift that is. I'm reminded of Jesus' own words in John 14 and verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we could just go on and on about the wonderful gift that God has given us. He's given us so much in and through Christ Jesus. There's so many gifts, and guess what? These gifts never break down. They never wear out. They're eternal gifts. And Paul writes to the church at Ephesus in chapter 1, in verse number 3, he used these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us," get this now, "with all spiritual blessings." Or we could say spiritual gifts, if you allow me to use that word here. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Listen, these gifts that he gives us are going to last forever. They're going to fulfill all the promises that God has made to us and so much more. As we close tonight, there's nothing sadder than a Christmas tree with gifts that are left unclaimed and gifts that are left unopened. I wonder tonight if you'll claim the gift that God has for you tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to enjoy the gift of salvation. Would you receive him tonight? Maybe you need to, after salvation, you come to understand that you're going to receive this gift of justification. And then because of the gift of justification, you have peace with God, leading to the last gift of access to God. You see, the truth is God loves you and he wants you to enjoy all that he has for you in this life. So I wonder tonight, would you come? All this and more is available at the cross, God's Christmas tree. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, Paul says this, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." That unspeakable gift is referencing the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. As I close tonight, I like to say this, thanks be to God for the gifts under his tree. Let's pray.